Morning.
Morning.
This morning, I'd like to share a little bit what I've been studying recently. It's been encouraging and also challenging to me. The deeper you dig in God's Word, the more you realize that there's things in our lives that we need to work on each day and grow in. And so it's what I've been finding here in Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to look at the first part of the chapter here. Before that, let's start with prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come here together this morning and we can look into your word and pray that it would be working in our lives and changing us closer to you. And pray that the words I would share wouldn't be my words, but that they would be yours and that we could all grow in you. And just pray this in Jesus' name. So the title for what I have to share this morning is, How Much Do I Value the Sacrifice Christ Gave for Me? So it kind of summarizes the first part of this chapter. It's a lot of teaching and a lot of exhortation and stuff in the first part of the chapter here. Probably start reading in verse 1 and read through verse 13. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So here in the beginning of the chapter, we're told to be followers of God. I think we ask the question, are our lives moving in a godly direction? Because as we follow God, that's what should be happening. In Luke 6, verse 36, we see the character of God. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So we are to have the trait of mercy like our Father in heaven. Through Christ we are children. To God we are dear children. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God's will is that we as dear children would not conform our lives according to the former desires. Instead, we are called to be holy. I think that should show in our conduct and the way that we live. Do our lives show love to the people around us? We are called to walk in love as Christ has loved us. As dear children, thinking about children who are chastened by a loving father, and we know that God is the most loving father, and as our father we can learn from him. Allow us to show more and more the love of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." God teaches us love we can learn by Christ's example. You think about his example on the cross and sacrifice that he gave for us. It's pretty high calling and example. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Who gave himself for us for our sins, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God our Father." That is how much Christ loves us. He is a dying sacrifice, rose again to call us to be a living sacrifice. Think of many who have even died for their faith and the value that they put on Christ's sacrifice. They were willing to also lay down their lives. In verse 3 here in Ephesians 5, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint." As Jesus, being perfect, gave his life for us, he doesn't want there to be fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness among his people. Right from the beginning we see there in Genesis, example of Isaac and Esau. Jacob and Esau. In Hebrews 12, verse 16 and 17. Says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." I think we can ask the question, how much do I value the sacrifice? How much do I value Jesus? There's important things in life and there's things that aren't as important. And we see that Esau put more value on that one morsel of food than on his birthright. The birthright, something that was in that day one of the most valuable things. And yet he was willing to trade it for I think it was a bowl of soup there that his brother had prepared. How much worse if we put corrupt things before Jesus in our lives, whether it's fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. So we can't be letting uncleanness into our lives. These things were in times past in our lives. These things should not be named as happening among God's people. In verse 4, says neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We are not to let known filthiness into our lives. We can know what is in the heart by what comes out. So if we want to know, is there things in our lives, we can ask God, and it actually will manifest in the way that we live. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. Says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect one, is so that we can be clean. We can have freedom from filthiness. Foolish talking does not redeem the time. Here in verse 16 of chapter 5, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I think it's easy to take good sense of humor too far and turn it into foolish talking. We should rather be speaking the truth in love. In chapter 4, verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So that's what we're called to be speaking. That's what we're called to be communicating to one another. Coarse jesting language that causes the mind to think morbid thoughts, those things are not fitting for saints. Our speech should be a giving of thanks. In verse 20 there, chapter 5, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 there, it says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. A whoremonger, one who gives their body for the use of sexual immorality, does not have the right to God's kingdom in heaven or on earth until repentant. In Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28, says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within, ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So Jesus wants to clean the inside. We see that the Pharisees very quickly wanted to make the outside look good, but we need to make sure the inside is good, because we can't have immorality and uncleanness in our lives. We know that nor any covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. When we are covetous, we are in idolatry, saying the things that others have are of more value than the sacrifice that Jesus gave for me. I think that's one way that covetousness is wrong. It's saying that things others have are more value, and not counting the sacrifice, not counting our relationship with Jesus as enough. Do we live in a reality of the inheritance? It's not just a save me gospel, it's being a partakers in Christ's kingdom. So it's far more than just a... It is salvation and just wonderful. And then he wants to continue to work, and it can be a growing experience. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We don't want to be deceived by empty words. We hear things that sound fun but have no deep meaning. They bring emptiness and vain, confusing thoughts. In Psalms 119, verse 113, it says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Vain words received and processed and lived out is the reason God's wrath comes on the disobedient. Instead of vain words, we should be embracing truth. In verse 7, it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them, the disobedient, children of disobedience. We don't want to be partaking with them in that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers in other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. To ask the question, do we accept the influence of others to do wrong? It's an easy way to be caught up is bad influence of others. But instead, we should keep ourselves pure, because as we're walking in the light, we can see the truth. We used to be in darkness and bondage to sin and filth, but now we are light. We are called to be light, not in ourselves, but in Christ. In Christ, there is no condemnation. We are light. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light, knowledge, glory of God in Jesus' face. That is what God gives us. In verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So the evidence of the Spirit in the Christian, we can see what that is in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Any good flowing out of our lives is from the Spirit. I think we need to keep in perspective that as Christ begins working in our lives, there will be good as Christ is working. But remembering that it's from the Spirit and it's from Him, and not to downplay that, but also not to look at it as ourselves. Can ask the question, how are we known? Are we known for the righteousness that comes through Christ and His truth flowing through my life. The body can be edified as we speak truth. Again in chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. It's talking about the church there can be edified as that's what we seek. As children of light, we are to show what is acceptable to the Lord. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when the mind is transformed to a kingdom focus, we can begin to demonstrate the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in verse 11 it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship with, not connecting with, and letting darkness connect with our life. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 and 17, it says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Not touching the unclean thing, not living in adultery with the things of the world. The unfruitful works of darkness is opposite of the fruit of the Spirit that should be coming out of our lives. Darkness needs to be exposed. As Christ followers, we don't even like to talk about the things done in darkness. Speaking of those things brings shame. How much worse to be partakers in them. In Romans 1, verse 27, it says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. These people are so caught in the grip of sin that they have pleasure in the shameful acts of sin. And I think as we see those things happening, we bring shame. But how much worse if we get to the point where we're partakers with that. When we expose sin, we bring it to the light. In John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Are we practicing evil? We need to come to the light. Light and truth are going to stay the same. Jesus stays the same. His word stays the same. Our resource for exposing evil is the scripture. Satan does not want to expose sin. I think as it is exposed, he's glad to bring guilt along with it, but he really would rather those things stay hidden, and that way walk in darkness. But the light shows oneself who he is. Scripture, when we read the scripture, and if we're honest, we can see what the scripture says, and then if we're honest, we can look at ourselves, and it shows what's inside. We have the scriptures so we can see the sin Satan has blinded the world to. When we see things happening, like it says in Romans 1:27 or other things, we can quickly see that those things are wrong, but Satan has actually blinded the world to those things. So, closing, some questions. How much do I value the sacrifice Jesus gave for me? Our lives show what we value, what we spend our time on, what we think about, and the things that we do quickly show what we value. Esau came to the point of tears when he wanted the birthright. But I think about the tears it would be if we get to the end of life and haven't chosen to follow Jesus. Could living in adultery with the things of the world simply be putting too much value on the things of the world, too much of our lives into the things of the world? Christ has made it possible for us to walk in light. In verse 14 of chapter 5, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So let's walk in the light and think about how much do we value sacrifice Jesus gave for us. Do we value the things of this world more? Or maybe do we value what Jesus wants to do in our lives?